Moolala is brought to you by the nonprofit credit counseling agency Credit Canada and by Home Equity Bank, provider of the CHIP reverse mortgage. Well, we love to talk about money on this show. I love, love, love it. It can be a touchy subject that other people might not enjoy so much as me. Sometimes it is an especially tough conversation for couples to have, right? And one issue that often comes up is this question of equality. Like, what's fair? What's equal? Does the person with the higher salary get to make all the financial decisions, for example? Financial therapist Erica Wasserman joins us now to talk about this topic. She is in Miami, Florida. Hello there.
Hi, how are you?
I read this article in the New York Times recently, just what's prompted me to give you a call. And these are the kinds of questions that I get a lot, that I'm sure you get a lot. What does a financially equal marriage look like to you?
That's a great question. And the answer is unique for every relationship. Financially equal means that you both have a voice. And let's put this in football terms, right? Or any sports term. You can only be a team if you work as a team. You can have a star player. You can have a great quarterback. But if you don't have somebody down the field to catch the ball, you're not going to win. And it's the same thing when you're working as a couple in a relationship. So if you have somebody who's high power, earning a ton of money, but doesn't have somebody on the other end supporting them, and your visions and goals aren't the same, you're not going to win in life either.
That article talks about three vectors: resources, spending styles, and gender. And I want to start with resources because this seems to be where most of the funny business begins. There is unpaid labor and there is paid labor in any relationship. And often the higher earning spouse does fewer tasks around the house, not always, but often. And often as well, that higher earning spouse views themselves as the decision maker. How do you have that conversation to find a balance that works for your particular relationship?
One activity that I do with my clients is write down everything. Write down a task. So I have a client who the woman actually earned more money and the husband did not. And it was resentful a little bit, right? Because he thought as a man, he had to earn more money. And so there was a rift there. She went and bought a new stove because the stove broke. And we had this whole conversation. She doesn't cook though. He enjoys cooking. He provides the food for the family. And so his time and value of the meals, she actually bought the stove, but the actual act of cooking was done by him. So there was a value to that. And so we had to assign a value to, as a chef, right, preparing meals, what that value was to her. So while she was able to provide the physical equipment at a high dollar amount, he was over time able to contribute. So at the end of the day, he probably contributed more dollar for dollar if you take in how long the stove will last. And you had to equalize it that way. So as long as you guys are both communicating of what the value is, and I think that's where a lot of conversations miss, is they don't talk about why it's important that they're doing or how they're delivering it and what their intentions are. Mm.
One of the things where there is income disparity, some couples try and do things 50-50, which means one part of the couple saves nothing and the other saves more. And instead, they could say the percentage of the expenses is connected to the percentage of income that one makes in total. How do you find that option works for clients? Is that pretty common?
Yeah. You know, the initial is, 50-50, right? Because it just makes a clean cut. But the reality is that's not how a balanced relationship should be. And I like the percentages a lot better. That works, but also the terminology. Mm. His, hers, ours. Mm. And so while you have a percentage breakdown is great, do you have an hour goal? You know, and so for the financial therapy piece, my thing is working with clients is pick a goal. If you're looking to save for a house or to buy a new car, put a picture of that up, you know, put it by the front door. What's your common goal? So as you're having these conversations, this is an our statement versus he does this with his money, I do this with my money. It's we are saving for this. We are building this type of empire.
One of the other insights that this article highlighted is labeling whose money pays for what and how sometimes it can be disempowering when, you know, mom's income goes to childcare, dad's income goes to the mortgage. The mortgage is more important than the childcare. How do you interpret the labeling issue and how problematic does that become?
I think the labeling issue goes back to the value. So if you don't have childcare, you can't go to work, which means you can't pay for the mortgage. So it's the value that you're providing. And that takes some self-worth too. It's looking inside and back to the hour goal.
It would just seem so much easier to put it all into a joint account, right? And then you pay the money from the joint account and you take all that, the judgment out of it.
You know, that does work for a lot of people because the word judgment is such a big thing. With money comes judgment, comes jealousy, comes shame, right? It's shame that I'm not working as much. It's a shame, you know, like I feel shameful when I make a purchase for myself. And money shouldn't be shameful. And you need to have conversations and clear communication between the two of you. That is so important. And understanding not the surface wise, but like dig deep. Why is that important to you? Because when you work on the same team, you're going to win. Again, back to the football analogy. When you guys work together, you're going to get down the field faster.
Most couples have one partner that runs the family finances, whether they're heterosexual or not. There's one person who tends to lead that. There are some obvious pitfalls, like one person knows and the other person doesn't. And if, God forbid, something happened to that, the person who was leading that file would be a problem. What are some of the other pitfalls of that approach?
Well, I mean, look, with COVID, so many people died unexpectedly or just life in general. My parents were in a traditional marriage. I knew where my dad's end of life folder was. My mom didn't. So that in itself is so important to make sure you're having conversations with your partner of where your finances are, but also where your intent is. So my suggestion is set it up like you would a business meeting. Do quarterly meetings, do quarterly check-ins. But here's my suggestion. Pick a goal for that meeting. Have an agenda. You know, put that goal in a sticky and put it in front of us. So our goal is to talk about how we're going to pay off the house, right? And put that there. So the conversation goes back to that topic. You don't throw 18 things in that meeting. The other thing I suggest with couples is set up a code word. So money gets heated. Come up with a code word, pineapple, palm tree, you know, whatever you want, and set it up in the beginning of the meeting to be like, look, if this becomes overwhelming for me, I'm going to use this word. And it means I need to step away for 10 minutes or an hour, whatever it is. And then we can come back to this conversation.
That's genius. A safe word for money.
100%. It's so important because we need practice at this. We're not doing this every day. So how do you think you're going to sit down, back to analogy, right? Sit down and run a marathon. You're not. So break it up into smaller pieces, come up with a code word. And in fact, if you need help getting conversation started, I came up with 50 conversation cards. So to help generate these topics so you can start having these conversations with ease.
What are some examples other than, could we talk about money? It's really freaking me out.
What do I spend money on that annoys you and why?
Oh my gosh. This sounds like this is like fodder for marriage prep course.
Oh my God. Yes. You know, do you believe we should support adult parents financially? I mean, these are conversations that we all should be having at some point, not after the point.
Conversation cards and financial equality. Erica, thank you so much for your insight today.
Absolutely. I love being with you, Bruce.
Erica Wasserman was in Miami, Florida today. She is what's called a financial therapist, which on the one hand sounds like a completely made up phrase, but it's actually not. There's a whole program that Erica and others like her have gone through to really bring together the really amazing and intractable intersections between money and our minds.